Blog Talk.
February 3rd, 2011. You had something you wanted to talk about, Bill?
Yeah, I do, Mr. Bill Kennedy. How are we doing tonight, everybody? Before I step into that, I just want to talk a little bit about last week's show. We had a lot of people asking us questions I thought we answered over and over. Before we start off, I'm going to repeat everything again, please. Screwdriver and I are two independent writers. We do not belong to any organization. We are two highly mobile people who went up and down the California freeways into Mexico. We have motorcycle friends everywhere. We are not members of any one organization.
It's actually the United States, Bill.
Well, we mostly, yeah. We do go cross, but, you know. Second thing I want to talk about, I forgot the damn thing earlier. Oh, people keep contacting us and say, well, why isn't Bill's political as Phil is? I want to try to explain that. Phil is a member of Bolt. Would you tell us what Bolt is, please?
Bikers Never Left Your Town.
Okay, that doesn't say Bill and Phil. This is Phil. B-O-L-T. I am here to talk about the charity events we work on, kind of like the social scene. People keep wanting me to get more and more political questions and all that. That's for Screwdriver. You got a question about what we're doing, where we're going? Talk to me. But I'm not political because I don't want to be political. I have no disrespect to you people, that's Screwdriver's department. I guess that's enough for that, okay? Did I miss anything?
No.
And we had been, a lot of people called in and they were all over the chart last time. We will give everybody a chance. We're not going to cut you off. We're not going to pull ego or attitude. We want to listen to what you have to say, but remember, dialogue means it goes both ways. Okay, guys? So now that I've repeated again for the 100th time on the show that we are not belonging to any motorcycle organization, we are two independents. I want to talk briefly about Memorial Day is coming up today, you know? And our Poway, which is a town in San Diego, VFW Post 7907, is going to have a benefit poker run. Now, let me tell you just shortly about the poppies. In Flanders Fields, the battle from World War I, describes a battlefield across his daughter with red poppies. The poem deeply touched the nation and the world. And from that point on, poppies became known throughout the world as a memorial flower, a reminder of lives lost in wartime. You all remember World War I, another stinking disaster, so many lives lost. For what? We're not sure, but it goes on. Now, the VFW Buddy Poppy Program provides financial assistance maintaining state and national veterans' rehabilitation and servicing programs, and supports the VFW National Home for Orphans and Widows of our nation's veterans. Can't go wrong with a program like that. They're going to have a motorcycle benefit ride to raise funds. I'm not going to go through all the stuff here because not everybody's going to make it. It will take place in Poway, California, which is in San Diego. They're asking anybody to make it, kick in $25 or send a donation if you can. Make checks payable to the VFW Post 7907 and write Buddy Poppy in the memo. Tax exempt, blah, blah, blah. If you are going to show up, please bring the exact change. Now, what they're going to do is, when you show up in the morning, you can they're going to give you a $3 breakfast.
Right.
You're going to give them $3, they're going to give you breakfast. At the end of the run, it's a barbecue lunch. Now, I don't want to talk about all the stops and all that, but it's important for people to understand what the poppy means. And I'm going to ask Screwdriver in a few seconds to read this poem, In Flanders Field, by John McCrae. If you haven't heard it, pay attention, and if you heard it many times, take it one more time. I want to thank the American Legion Riders, Post 149, and all the American Legion Riders across America. I want to thank the Ramona, that's in San Diego, the Ramona VFW Post 3783, and the Vista, also in San Diego, VFW Post 7041. These two veterans organizations are doing what they can. Now, a lot of people really don't understand what the Poppy is, and I'm going to ask you for a moment here. Can you read this, In Flanders Field by John
sure.
McCrae? Thank you.
In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row. They mark our place, and in the sky, the lark still bravely singing, fly. Scarce heard among the guns below, we are the dead, short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, and saw sunset glow. Loved and were loved, and now we lie. Flanders Fields, take up your quarrel with the foe. To you, from falling hands, we throw. The torch, be yours to hold high. If ye break faith with us, we die. We shall not sleep through poppies grow in Flanders Fields.
I want you to think about that a little bit. This is actually a challenge from our troops, saying that if they fall, they need to know somebody's next ready to take up the flag.
Correct.
That's our job. We have, Screwdriver and I believe in the military. We are former military. We give everything we have to the military. I have said many times, I love this country. I'm a bit irritated with my government at times. But this poem, if you get a chance to go out and read it sometime, think about it, because any one of us in war could have fallen, and I hope that somebody would be behind me to grab the flag.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a little bit about Memorial Day coming up. Everybody knows about that.
Yeah.
You know?
And moving on to the next one, which is that Cal Diego PAV presents our Ride, Stride, and Roll, the one we do. It's Sunday, April 2nd.
Actually, Saturday, I'm sorry. They changed the date on that.
Saturday, April 2nd. Registrations at 9 to 10 at Sweetwater Harley in 3201 Hoover, National City. All the proceeds are going to go to benefit the Cal Diego PA's transportation program. That's the van we got.
That's right.
We keep running. Cal Diego PVA. So if you want to, what it's going to be, Bill, is the registration fee is $25. You get one poker card, a Cal Diego collector's pin, and a meal. Extra poker cards can be purchased at the beginning or the end of the run for $5. All bikes are welcome, so tell a friend and we'll see you there. If you need to get any more info, you can contact Kelly at 858-450-1443. Or you can email, and I'll put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and I'll also put in the website.
Some check if you can't make it. Now, some of the stops I located in there was, you know, we're going to stop by the VA hospital in San Diego and get as many guys in the wheelchairs as we can down. After we leave the VA hospital, my next stop, which isn't on the flyers, is going to be Mount Soledad.
Right.
And that's in La Jolla. And if you people back east don't realize the problem we're having, we have what we call it a mount, just a big old hill. But on top of this big old hill, we have a cross. It's been there forever. And it's a war memorial around it. Now, we have the atheists who want to take down the cross.
Right.
And disturb the war memorial. I've discussed this with atheists. I've have dialogue with atheists. What I'm asking any atheists out there to just start your own memorial. If you want to put a wall up and have some of your names of other atheists, that's fine. I'm not going to object to that. Why do you want to tear down our memorial?
For, it's been established forever and a day.
So we're going to have a nice speech up there about freedom. I guarantee you we're talking. I don't know who we're going to speak in yet, but I guarantee you we're talking about freedom, the price of freedom, we're thanking our military. And then this is the first time, I don't know if I mentioned to you yet, I just got Monday I was at the VA hospital for a meeting, but we're going to have the Oceanside Elks Club. They have really never been much concerned about what the heck we're doing. They're giving us their whole facility. They welcome all of us there
right.
inside the Elks Club. So we're going to try to get a lot of the vets that are in the wheelchairs down to the party and invite all the young vets on Camp Pendleton. Now, you know a little bit about the van we have. Why don't you tell them about that, guy?
It's, 30-passenger bus?
Some big old thing, anyway.
Yeah. And that's the one we keep running. That's what this runs for, these runs, to keep it running. Because the government decided they don't have any money to keep it running.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of one of those little glitches. Bunch of us got together, we raised money, and we got this van that anybody in a wheelchair that's a veteran needs a ride to the VA hospital, pick up the phone, bang, we're there. Not us, the van's there, excuse me. And then after a year, year. Remember, they came to us and they said, well, we may have to sell the van.
Right.
And we said, well, we raised all the money. How can you sell the van?
Right.
And they said, well, it's not in our budget, and we need tires and gasoline and insurance and all that. And because you guys, the motorcycle community, on your own raise the money, we'll take the budget money away from somebody else.
Absolutely.
So every year now, we raise this money to pay the offsetting cost to keep this thing, which we thought was free, but the government can't step in and help us. But we are not going to let a vet
sit.
No. You don't have to take a city bus in San Diego, or as long as you and I are around, we know that. We're going to help our vets out.
How do you feel about that, Jan? Jan?
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Good evening, Jan.
I'm doing fine. I'm wondering if you can at least get the state to say free registration.
Nope.
No, you tried that, huh?
Yep. They want their money too.
What I am working on is the fact that I'm calling all my retired bus drivers and school bus drivers and Greyhound bus drivers that have still got their licenses and see if they'll volunteer their time. That'll cut a lot of the money going out, but we still have to take care of the insurance, liability, the tires, gasoline, maintenance, et cetera, et cetera.
Did they do an estimate of how much it might cost per year?
Oh, yes, they've got that stuff all broke. I give the VA credit on this. I give our government credit. They've got charts and graphs on everything. Everything except how to get the money we need to maintain it. But we've maintained it for, I don't know how many years now, 5 years, 6 years?
This will be the sixth year.
Thank you. We're not going to let this go. We have enough veterans and enough friends here in San Diego that we're going to keep this going no matter what. The VA, they appreciate our dilemma, but the same way they're saying, we didn't budget this, so how can we maintain it? We can't take money away from some budget for something else. In a strange way, I can understand what you're saying. I'm thinking our government probably has money to kick it in, but we're not going to let this van go. Jan, I was actually speaking in San Diego 6 years ago, and a veteran in a wheelchair said, Mr. Kennedy, I apologize, I have to leave. Now, Jan, you've heard me speak. You know, my speeches are a little bit boring, but to leave in the middle of my speech, and he said, I'm sorry, I have to leave the VA hospital to get the last bus to where I'm going because I got to transfer it to another bus. And I said, I saw six vans downstairs. He said, no, no, Mr. Kennedy, not one of them are for wheelchair. If your car broke down 6 years ago, you could call the VA. They would send a van out to you, but you had to walk out to the van. And if you're in a wheelchair, you would take the city buses.
One comment that I've got that, you know, I think I'm rather stubborn about is that when you go in the military and then you get hurt while on active duty, you get wounded, bomb, whatever, the government made a promise to you when you went in that they would take care of your needs, and I believe that they need to stand by that promise.
Jan, since 1971 when I got out, they have not stand by, I don't think, any of the promises they made to me. I have been financially successful to where I have my own insurance, my own. I have never gone to the VA to save a nickel. I'll go to my own private people because of the fact that maybe they can use that nickel to help somebody that doesn't have it. I did not buy my house on the VA loan. I've done nothing with the VA because of the fact I can make it, and I want to pass anything I might have spent on somebody that needs it.
That VA loan is not worth anything nowadays. It's not worth a nickel. I mean, you know, if you can get one, fine. But, you know, getting that VA loan to begin with for the first person who owns the house is rather difficult. Then afterwards, it's nice if you're going to end up selling the home, then you can, I guess, transfer the VA loan to the person who buys it, something like that.
I'm not real sure. Like I said, I just made a commitment to myself that as long as I can stand on my own feet and pay all my own bills, then I'm helping some other vet that needs that money. It's not a big deal, but it's just a commitment I'm trying to make.
I understand completely, and you know, it's it's good that you're like that, and I think that you'll find that most vets are. You know, I'm just thinking about those vets that are in wheelchairs that need that mobility. You know, they need to go to the doctor's appointments. They need to have a life as well. You know, and because of their wounds, they lose that ability, you know, to be mobile. And so that is a special need, and that special need is not being taken care of.
No, not at all.
And it's a shame, you know. And it's a wonderful thing that other people will stand by the veterans. You know, they'll step in where the government has stepped away.
Stepped out completely.
Yeah, stepped out completely, and not only that, but they also want to make money off of this. I mean, why can't they do the registration tags for free? You know, I mean that is such a small gesture. You know, because getting a tag on your vehicle, I mean, it wouldn't cost the government much at all for that. So, you know, I mean, that's just pathetic that they would not. People asked them, but they said no. That's the wrong answer.
You know, Jen, I want to point out quickly, because we keep saying veteran. I want to remind everybody to not discount the suicide bombing attacks that are going overseas in that big sandbox. For the first time in American history, our mothers, our daughters, our aunts, our cousins, these women are coming home from the suicide bombings, missing an arm, missing a leg, great shrapnel wound to their face. When I'm down there speaking, the girls tell me, Bill, we women can see a veteran missing an arm or a leg, but by the force of his character, we can see a man. But unfortunately, you men are so shallow that if we don't look like Barbie doll, you don't want to go out with us. You don't want to go out with a girl missing an arm or a leg. Look at my face. Who's going to go out with this? The American psyche still is not comfortable with our women coming home damaged.
Yeah, well, and that's unfortunate. You know, I mean, but I don't think that any amount of, I mean, there's no way that you can legislate things like that. There's no legislative solution. It really just comes to pointing out that a person's character is the thing that should be put on the pedestal rather than a person's appearance.
But we've been trained since childhood for the girls to play with tea parties and nice dresses, and us, Screwdriver and I, are out there playing war, jumping off the trees. We really have to start accepting the fact that our daughters are warriors going over there. They may be ladylike and all that, but it's just hard for my generation, Screwdriver generation, to see women injured. It goes against our grain. We're supposed to be there to protect them, but we have to accept the fact that these women are making choices on their own to go over there. But it really, it's hard for me. I'm in a room full of women, and I try to just speak, you know, unemotional, but it's a hard subject, a real hard subject.
Well, you know, Bill, they're strong to begin with. They're going to do okay.
Well, they're strong. It's me. I'm the one having the problem. All of my friends, same thing.
Right.
We're just uncomfortable knowing that our women have been injured, hurt. It's very tough with that. And I encourage everybody, no matter where you are in America, please go to the VA hospital. Don't spend all day there, for God's sakes. You don't have to. Just walk in, go to the front door. There's a guy in the wheelchair or two guys.
Look them in the eye. Don't look
them up. Please, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Look at him and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, man, where are you from? Hey, what service you in? I mean, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, whatever you're in. Just say for 2 minutes, how you doing? Take a quick walk through. Go home. They'll feel better. You'll feel better. Now, most of you people don't have advantages. When I'm at my meetings, sometimes the hospital closes or shuts down for the visitors. And when I leave, these veterans, these patriots, they're alone in the rooms. And that's when the depression comes in. That's when the sadness comes in. During the daytime, you got doctor's appointments. You got people coming and going. God, hopefully, you got visitors. Nighttime, when I'm there with the short staff of nurses and doctors at night. These people are lonely. You can't do too much about that because the hospital is closed to visitors. But during the daytime, you know, am I asking too much? Come in, say hello. How you doing? Go home, you know?
Exactly. Stop by a couple of magazines, check a card, checkers, chess, whatever.
Yeah, deck
and just
cards
so you people don't get the wrong impression of me, I have to point out to you, then you guys get friends that work in strip clubs, bring those girls down. For some reason, when I'm down there, the guys like to talk to women better than me. I don't know. Just want to throw it out there.
I told you to dye your hair.
Better dress than I do. You got better legs.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Phillip's a Jesus.
Where was Phillip's hand? Did you look?
Oh, what?
Hand, did you look?
In that picture of the cross? I don't know. There's a lot of controversy about that.
I couldn't see the hand.
Don't egg him on.
And it's always screwdriver.
I don't need to, Phillip. He's going to keep doing it anyhow.
I know.
Lifetime program. He's stuck with it.
You know, I stopped into the VA hospital last week, and you know, I saw this one black man in a wheelchair, probably about I'll just take a guess, about 45 years old, maybe 50, and yeah, he was just looking pretty ragged. I just walked over to him and said, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. And then he answered Army. And, you know, I mean, just a simple conversation like that changed his whole mood.
Yeah.
Somebody talked to him.
Yeah, people don't understand that. They're intimidated.
Somebody talked to him. I mean, how many people are going to talk to him? Because, I mean, the guy's looking ragged, and he's looking a little bit perturbed, too, you know? So I just, you know... And Doc is in the background here, and he's retired Army SF, and he says he's in the VA. Of course, he's perturbed.
Yeah.
But actually,
when I was speaking on Monday, I'm going to tell you that in the middle of my speech, a guy rolled in on a gurney face down. He had three straps holding him down, and he says, "Do you mind if I come in and listen to you?" Now, the front of the wheel, gurney had big wheels, kind of like a wheelchair, so he could push himself around. He rolled in, and I said, "Of course you can join us, because what we're talking is we're talking about you and every other vet down there." But, Jen, I tell you, I stopped speaking for a second when he came rolling in, paralyzed for life. And he was there to see what can he do to help other vets. That's just a big step for me, very big.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. And then Bill, I talked to somebody else. I sat down in the waiting room. I was on the opposite side of where the television was, and I saw that there weren't any chairs except for one open, and saw it on the other side of the room where you could see the TV, and not that there was anything good on. But, you know, it's just that sound, you know, you get that sound, you want to be looking at where the sound's coming from, I guess, or something like that. So I walked over and sat down in the chair, and so I asked him the same question. I go, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. He goes, none of them, but my brother is in for surgery. And so I said, well, you know, I'll tell you what, just about everybody that you will see in this humongous VA hospital, this is in Durham, North Carolina, just about everybody, if they don't work here, they either served or they've got a loved one that served or family member, you know, that served. Everybody. Right? When
right.
you think about it.
Right.
We were there. I went with a friend of mine. He's with the American Legion Riders. His name is Bob Murray, and Bob's got on the front of his jacket, his patches, the USS, is it Constitution? No, no, no.
Consolation.
We walked by, and one of the doctors yelled, "Hey, Connie!" I don't know what the hell he's doing. He ran up to him and hugged him. He was on the That Connie also same ship and all that. Instant bond. This doctor's jumping up and down. Everybody's happy. There is a special bond among military. It doesn't mean that we are special. It just means that we have a special link. And we see somebody else on the same area. That's kind of nice. But these two guys jumping up and down tell more stories already, you know.
Yeah, you know, there are some people who are just so opposed to war that they become opposed to the troops.
Yeah.
And they become opposed to veterans, and they become opposed to the families of those serving in the military. And I think that they just do not understand. They do not understand that, you know, you're following orders. You are not the one making the decisions about where you're going to be next week.
Exactly. And what people don't realize is that when one of our sons or daughters come back, it affects the whole family. It affects their cousins, mother, father. It affects their children. These wounded warriors, men and women coming back, their extended families, it goes on and on. I work with a lot of vets that want a hand up. I don't work with anybody, nor have I met any of our group that want a hand out. Give them
yeah.
a fair shake.
Yeah,
there are
yeah.
some vets that go in there for the benefits, and they get some counselors, which are not the best. Don't blame the system on that. That's an individual you had that didn't help you. There are people out there that desperately want to help you. When I got out of the military, for 2 days, they try to set me up on some type of a program to give me a benefit. I didn't have a scratch. They tried to give me something so I could get money. I don't have anything wrong with me. But they tried. So there are good people and bad people. Some people say, well, my VA didn't help me. Go to another VA. For God's sakes, don't blame the program. Just blame me as a bad operator there.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. We're very fortunate over at the Durham VA. I mean, there's a lot of idiotic clerks, you know,
yes.
that I don't know how they isn't a high school diploma required to get these jobs? I mean, you know,
they might have lowered it to sixth grade level.
Maybe it sure seems that way to me. You know, and I've seen the same mistake happening over and over and over again by these clerks. But, you know, at the we're very fortunate at the Durham VA because it is right across the street from Duke Medical Center, which is one
right.
of the best hospitals in the world. And every day there are doctors walking from the tunnel from Duke over to the VA and back again over to Duke. They do the surgeries or they'll read the x-rays, you know, and so you're just in much better hands at that particular VA than you might be at another one.
Jan, that's so true, because Screwdriver and I have a list of people, counselors in the VA system in San Diego, and we refer certain people to certain counselors, personality-wise, et cetera, et cetera. Not every counselor is going to be perfect all the time, but for us, we know some of our returning vets cannot deal with a long, long conversation. They need somebody's going to help them. Not every counselor is that good. So we, Screwdriver, and I have a list here in San Diego of counselors that we refer them to. And these VA guys are, well, they're our people, so they're very, very good.
Yeah. You know what I don't like, though? This is the subject I never heard you talk about. Okay. Within our state government, such as like the unemployment office, they have set up two counselors that are, you know, supposedly for veterans. Okay. I'll tell you what, though. You don't really get any better service from them. You really don't get any better treatment from them. You're not going to get any better shake from them. And they really don't even, it seems as though they just, used the fact that they're a veteran in order to get the job, and that's all. You know, they're really no more caring than anybody else. The fact that you're a veteran doesn't really mean anything.
No.
Sometimes with a civil service job, once you're in, you're in.
And then you get a little lackadaisical, and then you actually seem to resent the people you're supposed to be there to help. If you feel like that, get another job. That's why Screwdriver and I, we need to know which vets, counselors, are there to help our own people and all that. Because you can get lost in the system very easy, and then you get frustrated and you give up.
Yeah, I agree.
Nobody knows this. In fact, Screw doesn't know this either. I worked for the VA for 6 months. I left. I had guys coming back that I would sign up before September for school to get the VA benefits and all that. Close to Christmas, they still hadn't received their benefits. They're falling behind and everything. It was a mess. I was always able to get the benefits in by Christmas, but for like September, October, November, I couldn't do anything. The system was too big. I couldn't get them checks. Checks that they set up for way before school started. I'm talking about not last-minute people. Way in advance, I set the damn paperwork up, and I couldn't get them money. And after 6 months, I walked out of the VA, and I said I wouldn't work for this organization or any other organization big like that. They keep thinking they're so big, and we're just little cogs. Hey, it's us that's keeping the jobs alive. Some of the people at the VA make some decent paychecks. Turn around. Don't get cocky. Help the people you're supposed to help.
And they have job security like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, they do. But I said, once you're in, you're in.
Let me ask you, I never asked you this. Did any veterans help you get your job? The government, the state? What are you? The state. Not government. What are you?
Government.
You government? I don't know.
No, I got it on my own. With my qualifications.
You work for the government. How long you work for the government?
16 years. Actually, no, 20.
What do you do for the government? I never asked you. I didn't know you worked for the government. Jan, did you know he worked for the government?
Secret agent man. Secret agent man. He's undercover. Did you know that?
Why you got it? Why you got? Don't even say that. Why you got egg him on?
You know, I'm always trying to get you guys to be a little more controversial.
Yeah, I know. Actually, no, I worked at the Navy shipyard.
Yeah, I know. And where did you get your welding skills? Did you have that before you went in the service?
Yeah, I started doing that in Chicago when I was about 11. An old Polish guy asked me if I wanted to learn how to weld. He used to start the morning, like in the summertime when I was out of school, I'd go there and I'd pick up dog shit and stuff like that. And it was a body shop, so I learned how to do that and work on cars. But he used to come in every morning. It was about 61, 62. And he didn't say good morning or nothing. It started out with, let's do something, even if it's wrong. In other words, he didn't want you standing around, so that's how I was taught. You're always doing something.
And so you must have really liked it.
Yeah, it's you know, if you've ever seen something you build slide out of a ways, you know what a ways is?
No.
Okay. The ship that's in there right now is about 789 feet long. It's going to be about 220,000 long tons. And it's going to be a supply ship that it's just like a floating, 7-Eleven out there in the Indian Ocean or wherever it needs to be. And it slides down on this wax compound and it slides right back into the water. And
there's another backwards one?
Yeah, well, they all slide backwards, Bill.
I don't understand that.
They all slide backwards.
You're trying to tell me.
All the weight's in the back, that's why. The motor and all that shit's in the back, so it makes it
slide. Gravity pulls it down?
Yeah, it slides easier.
I think a lot of people say, well, why does Bill do most of the talking? Screwdriver has to run the equipment, the button adjustments, and all that. And beside that, Bill mostly just talks. Get used to it, everybody.
Where do you get this feedback from?
Where? Oh, I got a couple. I talked to somebody over the weekend. And yeah, he told me that Bill was the spoiler.
No. Well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess everybody has their own opinions.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, the last time he was on, they got to say it. It was getting a little tense.
I always appreciate talking to Bill. You know, he's a voice of reason in an otherwise quite insane world sometimes. And
I don't want this show just be about, you know, the political agenda and the laws and all that. I think after a while that might get a little dry. I want to talk about the motorcycle community, and I think between the two of us it blends in. But people keep wanting to be, Bill needs to be more political. No, I don't. I'm not
No, and you know, I like hearing your political views when you do give them, though.
I don't think I ever gave one. I didn't know I did.
Oh yeah, you did. Oh.
No, what it is, Jan, is
Bill.
You know,
Bill,
we have people that appear on different shows, and you know, all of a sudden now it's real important to get on somebody else's show and stuff when this venue's been here for over a year now.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, no, Bill. Let me remind you. We you know, you have quite a lot to say about corruption. You know, where, and you and I have talked about this before. A lot of candidates probably get into public office, and they have every intention in the world of doing a really good job, and then after a few years, they just realize that they're stuck in this kind of system where it's playing games.
Right.
Love, you know, and so, Bill, you've talked politically before.
I must have slipped. It was an accident. The friends that I know, that I am friends with, every one of them did exactly what you said. They came there wanting to climb the mountain, but after a very short time, they said the mountain was too high, and they had to make exceptions. They had to make
choices,
and each time they did that, they sold a little piece of their soul. There isn't a real politician that I'm friends with, because I just saw what they could have been, and I saw what they became today. Now, saying that, though, I have to tell everybody that 2 weeks ago, we had the mayor of Oceanside down for a big presentation we had for the fallen firefighter that passed away. The mayor of Oceanside spoke wonderfully about the motorcycle community.
Right.
So here's a man that he'd have to show up, first of all. He could have just said, you know, you bikers cause trouble, whatever. He gave us a lot of credit. So there is a few politicians that I'm sociable with, but the friends of mine that I really thought could do something, they couldn't. The machinery was too big.
So, right.
Well, it's at that point where they should be stepping down and letting some new blood in.
Oh, I agree with that. Everything's got to be terms. You did your thing, get out with somebody else. You don't make a home in there, for God's sakes.
Really?
You make a home in there, you're afraid to offend people. You don't want to make changes. You want to stay there. No, I want people that are going to try to step up and say, I think we need to try this. If it doesn't work, we'll try something else. I'll vote you out or whatever.
Well, you know,
but people don't want to.
Yeah, and speaking of trying things, yeah, I don't know if you saw this one, Jan, but Apple does it again.
Oh, what did they do?
The Apple computer company?
Yeah.
They decided today that they developed a breast implant that can store and play music. The iTip will cause...
Wait a minute.
No, he's reading it verbatim. This is Screwdriver again. He gets his own special newspapers.
I swear to God, I'm reading this right now. It says Apple announced today that it has developed a breast implant that can store and play music. The iTit will cost from $4.99 to $6.99, depending on your cup size and speaker size. This is considered to be a major social breakthrough because women are always complaining about men staring at their breasts and not listening to them.
Oh. Yeah, he can't write this stuff. You know it's got to be true. He can't make this stuff up. He finds these things. I don't know.
No, that's really good. I think I'll get two.
I'll send it to you right now.
Stereo.
Yeah, I'll send it to you right now.
It'll go really good with the coffee service that I provide Doc in every morning or every afternoon or whatever. Coffees and boobies.
Yeah, it's on its way right now.
What do you think?
I couldn't hear. She's broke up. She says she services Doc every day. What did she say? I couldn't hear that.
Coffees and boobies.
Okay. You didn't catch it, but that's okay.
We're thinking that it would be a really good chain cafe. You know, when
there you go.
When these coffee houses go out of business, we're going to have coffee and boobies.
You
so
know,
now
funny.
That I. Now that I've
deviated very slightly, every time I drive around, I'm looking for stores that are closing down and going out of business. And, you know, it's getting a little depressing. Are you seeing a lot of that, say, Vende for sale, for rent places in your neighborhood? Or your store staying pretty solid?
No, because I don't go out of the house anymore.
Okay.
I'm afraid of those. I'm afraid.
That's, no, you can't go no anywhere. What am I saying? Yeah.
There's cameras everywhere. There's police that are going to just shoot you for no reason. You know, I mean, so I don't go anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
I refuse. I've become a
friend. Yeah, I sent that to you. You should have got it by now.
Oh, cool. So this sounds legitimate to you, huh?
Well,
read it. Yeah, it's just a thing.
It's right there. Read it.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing I was going to talk about was that profiling bill.
Where, this is the political part of the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Where they, you know, Donnie says that it's, they got it running from both directions. And just like we said about that national implication, because nothing exists quite like any in any state, but they're putting, you know, he says they're putting the pressure on the legislators, and bills are known to die in the rules committee. But he said he says he has a second reading calendar in another way if necessary. You know about that?
All I know is that things are looking really good.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to fly. And when it flies, you know it's going to fly across the country real fast.
Right. That's what I think, too. And that'd be huge.
But the problem is, okay, let's check this out, though. Okay, I don't know if you saw that video. His name is Devereaux. I think his name is David Devereaux. He did such a splendid job. Did you see the video?
No, I didn't.
No, not yet. I just saw this. This just popped up.
Oh. Yeah. Hey,
Is that what they call David? Double D?
I think so. Maybe. But
well,
anyway,
David Devereaux, he's probably Double D.
He did such a splendid job. One of the legislators in the committee said, "Where did you go to school? Go to law school?"
Wow.
and he goes, "No, I didn't go to law school. I just was on debate teams." So, I mean, this guy did such an awesome job. I mean, he researched. I don't think that he was even referring to any paper work at all. And he just bam, 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 made the point, moved on. Made the point, moved on. Made the point, moved on. Hit all the problems. You know, he suggested all the benefits. He even was able to address any of the complaints against it. And he just did such a wonderful job that's why it passed. And the thing is that David Devereaux is not going to go from state to state. And I don't think that we have that many terrific speakers.
And I think
there.
It's like it says in here, you know, if the private citizen has to obtain permission in regard to having traffic provisions suspended during public events.
What's that?
That's where they wanted to ride in the parade and stuff, right?
Oh, the parade one. Yeah, that's a totally different bill. The bill that I'm really enthusiastic about is that motorcycle profiling bill. The parade bill is something that's more akin to a discrimination kind of thing, because if you think about it, these floats or whatever, you know, towns are able to suspend the laws completely, shut down the roads. They don't have to go by any state laws. They can create their own laws. And so if they say motorcyclists should be able to ride without a helmet in a parade, and it should be up to the town or the county, it shouldn't be up to the state to preempt all over the state. And so, you know, these towns were giving the motorcyclists permission to go without helmet. But the state cops said, you do that and we'll ticket you. And so that's why they had to get this legislation happening. It's just a stupid state law that they needed to repeal. So I think that they'll clear that one too.
You know, Jen, I have to say, I've been in a discussion with a doctor friend of mine at a very nice university hospital. And he and I were discussing, why are we wearing motorcycles, helmet, why are we not wearing helmets, blah, 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 blah. We're talking about the different rights and all that. And I said, you and I are friends, but I can't talk to you. He said, well, why, Bill? Because you sold your soul.
You thank
you. An organization that they look at you like you're in a fishbowl. They look at your house. They look at your haircut. They look at your family. They look at your politics. You are afraid to lose your job. You will not step up to the plate and criticize anything. He said, no, I'm a Republican, and you don't do anything about it. And that's what's wrong. A lot of people in America, they're comfortable, and they don't want to make any noise. That's what's slowing us down.
Oh, yeah. Do you realize what happens when people do start making noise?
They get heard. A lot of noise.
They get heard. And you know what happens when they don't? Nothing. Nothing except for bad things that come from just a few brains. Instead,
this doctor was devastated. I asked him, I said, you've never showed up for one of my events. Well, I'll write you a check, Bill. I don't want your check. I want to know why you don't show up for my events. Well, it's because you don't want to be seen. He said, well, no, it's you just don't want to be accused of being around people that are asking questions. He said, well, I will give you a check. I don't want a check. I want you to throw off this facade of stability and be an American, stand up. And he couldn't do it. He said, no, Bill, I've got too much to lose. It was so sad, Jen, so sad.
He's got too much to lose in showing what he believes in. In displaying what he believes in?
What he perceives his life to be. Yeah.
It's hard to do that. It is hard to make that initial step. You know, I mean, it's like coming out of a closet. Okay, let's use that term. But once you start doing things like what I was doing this week, was calling legislators. I told them, hey, you know, we need to stop these cops from getting on the motorcyclists' rear ends, you know, just 3 to 5 feet from the tail end of their back tire, you know, with their big SUVs, in order to check to see if their helmet looks like it's good enough for probable cause, you know? And so I said, you know, the only way we're going to stop that is if you make it a secondary offense, make a violation of the helmet laws a secondary offense. So we'll see if that flies.
Yeah, we have to look at every option. And like the doctor and I, we've agreed not to argue because he has too much to lose. I don't have that much to lose. I have to make my own priorities. I have to prioritize my life. It's hard to sit down with people when we're from different levels. Not that he's above me, not that I'm below him. It's just that he has got all these concerns that he doesn't want his world interrupted. That's the hard part I have speaking to some people.
Well, you have your knowledge base and he has his knowledge base. And it's very difficult with people who are considered to be the cream of the crop. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to think that anybody has more knowledge about anything than they do. And that's some kind of complex that they really need to get over. You know, as smart as they are, doctors, cure thyself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are people out there who, I mean, I don't know how to draw a cartoon. I don't have any talent whatsoever when it comes to art. You know, there are people out there who can weld. There are people out there who can run a successful motor shop. You know, but you might not ever be able to do as good on computers as me, for instance. But I won't ever be able to do as good a weld as you.
Right.
You know, yeah. And so, you know, doctors, you've learned one set of skills and you've got one set of knowledge. We've got another set of knowledge, though.
I found that throughout the course of my life, I would rather have a physician's assistant treat me than a doctor, except for my one very good doctor friend who we like arguing. Physician's assistant is one step below a doctor. It's above a registered nurse. It's a very strange world. They can do a lot of stuff, but they seem to be always open-minded, where once a doctor is a doctor, he or she seems to be, or let's talk about an educator, same thing. They get a certain area or they get tenure, and I think they just kind of fall into the system and they just let it go, just go with the program. I hope Screwdriver and I, well, actually, I hope we can become filthy rich millionaires, but I hope we always are honest enough to each other to say, this ain't right. I'm not talking about revolution. I'm not talking about crazy things. I'm saying, if it's not right, maybe we can do something to make it right. That's my concern there.
It's very difficult for some people to realize that they can empower themselves to do that. To actually,
right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't know that all it takes really is start off by making a phone call. Sometimes, you know, call up a legislator and tell them, call up your congressman and say, hey, look, I just want to tell you, I didn't appreciate the fact that you voted for the Wall Street bailout.
No, that's dialogue.
There were like 80 million people who called and said they didn't like that. And you know, I think we needed maybe another 150 million.
You know, I am a member of the Republican Party, though. I let the political side.
I knew that.
I went down to the before the last election. I said, this guy, Obama, we got to offset his color. This is going to be an election about color. We need to find a congresswoman, a senator, a governor from the Midwest, a Latina, South American, Cubano. I don't care where it is with that. We need to offset that vote. And I gave a very good presentation. And 1 month later, they brought that white snowflake Palin down from Alaska.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what vote is she? What Mexican woman, Puerto Rican woman, Cuba, who is going to vote for her when they're thinking, hey, This is the first chance we've got. We're going to put a person of color in the White House there. And the Republican Party tried to justify to me that it was the best thing for the party. And I thought, once again, if I say disappointed, that's not even begin to it. It's like they don't pay attention to logic. They agree what they think is the right thing to do, and sometimes we have to suffer the consequences. McCain wasn't that good a speaker. He became bitter. Palin is a good speaker. But we needed a woman of color as a vice president if we Republicans had a chance. And they wouldn't even comprehend it. They wouldn't even have dialogue with me. They had their minds made up and wouldn't even tell me. That's why me and the Republicans, all the politicians, I get a little bit cranky. I just don't understand why they do it. So I try to leave screwdriver doing most of those questions.
Gosh, you know, Philip just sent me this picture of all these kids. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, all the kids in the neighborhood played with toy guns, but this is something completely different.
Right. I didn't show that to Bill yet, but yeah, sure.
This is real guns.
What
we're
looking at is it's called What the Media Does Not Show. I received this earlier today. Says you'll never see this on CNN, ABC, NBC, or CBS. The world is concerned about the plight of Palestinian children. These are the images they show. Hurt, held in guys' hands, hurt, bandaged face, bandages. A bombing, running down the street, holding a little kid. People are running in all different directions. And then they show you the images of all these little like junior ROTC camps. You want to describe what you see there, Bill?
Now, you know, I have watched this for some time. We're talking about our military over there trying to start Boy Scouts out there. They're trying to say everything is wonderful and over there. They're only showing us what they want us to see. The truth of the matter is these militants are putting machine guns in their children's hands.
Those kids can't be more than 8, 9 years old.
Are sending their children out to be blown up. Now, they have great faith. It's a wonderful thing. But our governments, our TV people, they're showing us things that are so vanilla. It's not reality. We knew that back in the Vietnam days. The TV showed everything. Oh, everything's doing good. Well, why the hell are we losing? It's the same thing going overseas. They say, the Palestinian people, they love us. Look what we're doing. Let me say this. They hate us because we're a Christian nation.
Yeah, for your audience, I worked in Tehran for a year. Yeah,
I worked in Tehran for a year with the government doing something, and my Muslim friends would say, Bill, we like you as a person, but please always remember, if push comes to shove, we will have to back our Muslim brothers even though we can't stand them, because we are Muslim, we will never, ever, ever sit down with Christians. Why can't our government see that? We need a Muslim coalition of nations over there fighting. We need to send those Christians back home. We cannot have these checkpoints, our American men stopping a husband and wife and then asking the wife questions. That is a tremendous insult to Muslims.
Well, that's just like when they say it isn't Islamophobia when they really are trying to kill you.
Yeah, good thing there. And no, I got nothing against the Muslims. That's their way of life, but I think America has to understand the Muslims.
For your audience, let me just say that, you know, what I'm looking at is Philip sent me an email that has pictures of, I guess it's supposedly Palestinian children. There's no way of proving that. But it's like the youngest one I see is about 5 years old holding a machine gun or a hand grenade, and then there are dozens of six-year-olders, seven-year-olders, eight-year-olders, you know, on up to 12 years old, all handling automatic weapons, learning how to make bombs, you know, all kinds of things. And these are just young children. Supposedly they're Palestinian. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but that's why I sent it to you. I thought maybe you want to comment on that.
Yeah. It's quite a difference between what we've got here in America, isn't it? You know, here we are talking about, you know, arguing back and forth. Where are we going to get the money to open up a kindergarten? Well, you know, you take that same kid and you're in a different country. They're arguing about whether he's going to be carrying a hand grenade or a machine gun.
Or wearing a bomb.
What a difference.
I wish somebody would tell me why we're giving Egypt $1.5 billion. Why are we giving the whole world money? How about Tennessee, Kentucky? How about Arkansas? Let's take care of our own people. I don't want to hear about no more spaceships going out to the never. I don't care about that. First, we have to take care of ourselves. Why our government can kick money around to everybody and ignore Americans is just wrong.
Appalachia has been poor for how long?
Yes.
And Appalachia is not like some foreign country. I mean, if anyone asked Sarah Palin that, she'd probably think that it was somewhere in Africa.
Or Cuba.
Yeah. So, no, Appalachia has been poverty-stricken for decades, but yet the news wants to send all the American dollars overseas.
Can you tell me, Jan, how important is the space shuttle to you? How critical in America's day-to-day do you think sending more rockets up to outer space? Does that affect you at all?
Well, it goes back to your favorite question. Do you believe they landed on the moon?
You want to go on that? All right.
Yes, let me ask you, then I'll jump into it.
Do you believe America landed on the moon?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I'm
going to agree with you, and I'm going to tell you something. I believe America landed on the moon. I think America planted a flag on the moon. Therefore, it's my moon. I don't want the Chinese and the Russians and everything else getting up there. And yet, as soon as we landed on the moon, we made a humanitarian statement. We invite all nations to come to the moon. Bullshit. It's my moon.
Let's ask another question.
It's my moon. It's my money.
That flag that's planted up there, it's not Bill Kennedy's flag. Is it?
My tax dollar sent it up there. Every piece of that ship is my tax dollar. No communist. Nobody else paid for that. We pay for that. It's my moon. The rest of your countries, stay off my moon.
So you're trying to tell me that all the money that I spent on taxes bought a missile, while yours bought a spaceship?
Okay, you can go with me too if you want. You can visit me at the moon. But you know, if another country landed on the moon first, they declared it for. If Russia landed on the moon first,
Russia would have said hands off.
That's right. It wasn't that long ago. A year ago, Russia went under the polar cap, and because they're right underneath, they tried to declare the whole South Pole for Russia. And the international court said, no, you didn't. You didn't land on top of it. You were submarine, you went underneath it. But they tried to claim the South Pole. They damn good will try to take the... It's my moon.
Well, to the victor goes the spoils.
I know.
To the victor goes the spoils. You know, but, you know, going to the flag, you know, I mean, is it... What does that flag represent? Does it represent the government or does it represent the people? Or does it represent the country?
We the people.
Okay. I'll go along with that.
We do not need to fear the government. The government should fear us.
That's the way it should be. And if we're not careful, I mean, a lot of people are already saying that the government powers far exceed the powers of the people. Absolutely. Well, yeah, the powers you do in terms of, you know, the military strength, we have none. Okay, they're guns. Yeah, we've got some, but we have nowhere near the capability that the government has. I mean, but you know, do they really have the military all brainwashed to the point where the military would actually fire on us like they did at Kent State?
Well,
there's a question.
I do like what's going on in Egypt today, and the fact that although the police department is backing the government, the military, which is on the streets, has not struck a single blow against the citizens. They said they're going to protect the citizens. The government and the police department has definitely created a lot of problems, a lot of people hurt. But the government is on the streets and saying, we will not let the citizens get hurt. I thought that was real uplifting for me.
Yeah, you know, I am extremely interested in this. I've been following it. I did see that Mubarak said that he would like to step down. He's afraid that if he does step down, that it will not be good for the country. Now,
to wait until September, and I think what he wants to do is try to empty the coffers and take
yeah,
everything out of the country.
I agree.
And everybody, please, we'll stay together in September. I'll step down. Why?
I agree. No.
But he's going to empty everything.
Let's do a very orderly step down, but let's do it within 3 or 4 days at the most. You know what I mean? Put some interim government in place that does not report to Mubarak.
Exactly.
Has to report to the people. Now, where are the people going to come from? I think that they should just take random. Pick you. You. And
no,
you.
Pick screwdriver, not me.
From
that's
the crowd.
Governor. That's
no,
screwdriver,
not
Bill.
Not you guys, but you know, just go out to the crowd at random. You. You look pretty smart. Come here. Guess what? You're in charge. And the poor guy would say, or the poor woman would say, heck no, I don't want to be in charge because they're going to lynch somebody.
The one in charge always gets the axe.
Here comes the guillotine.
You know, Jan, I spoke a couple weeks ago at an event, and right after we played the national anthem, I spoke to people about what does a national anthem mean to you? Do you listen to it? The national anthem is really a cry out. It's a question. The man, the author, Francis Scott Key, he was imprisoned by the British at that time. The battle was going on all around him, and he was saying to the other prisoners, tell me, by the rocket's red glare, is our flag still there? I don't know if people listen to the words even. Are we still a nation? Are we still alive? Now, when I spoke, I asked everybody, is our flag still there? And everybody started screaming, yes. But I really meant, is our spirit still there? And everybody was yelling, cheering, applauding, so I didn't break the train of thought and all that. But way back then, they're asking, is the flag still there? Is America still there? Are we still there? Or are we going to give in to the tyrants? And maybe we gave in to our own tyrants way back, and it's too late. I don't know.
And that was the War of 1812, if I'm correct. Do you think so?
Francis Scott Key was being held in an English ship that was a temporary prison.
Right. And it was the War of 1812?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that was really strange. You know, we talk about the American Revolution all the time. And we talk about the fact that, you know, we won our independence from Britain. A lot of people don't talk about the War of 1812. You know, it's not something that's very popular. It's like nobody talks about the Spanish-American War anymore.
The Maine, the war. No.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt running up the hill. No, talking about those things.
Yeah, hey, you know who was the vice president of Teddy Roosevelt?
Give me a second. No, can't think of it.
Okay. You know my handle that I use on the Bikers USA radio show is Liberty Fairbanks. Well, Fairbanks is my ancestry. Okay,
oh, okay.
They came over from England in 1634. Well, the vice president under Teddy Roosevelt was Charles Fairbanks. He's in the family.
Famous person I know then, because all I know is really Screwdriver, but he and I got no roots at all. So you're like the most famous people we know.
Oh gosh, I've got roots to the Addams Family. And I'm not talking about like the television
TV show.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's like, okay, here, Bill. Just like this. Right? Where this guy's a retired Marine.
Yeah.
Just to bring people up to speed, this is this guy's name is Herman Cain, and he led a Q&A session at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. He addressed her question and then went to the last question of the night, and the crowd was expecting nothing until this.
Under God, with liberty and justice for all, because we are a God-fearing Christian nation. We are not going to let them dig it out, Alex. We're not going to let them dig it out. Very, very. And she's a young person. See? We got young people who get it, who connect the dots, who know what's going on. All right, the nice gentleman.
Good. One question was raised, how would we teach our young people? And I'm a former Marine, and I became aware that there are two verses, and we need to hear the second verse, which says, oh, the Spirit ever when free men shall stand between the law and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven rescued land.
Anybody who rides a motorcycle will understand this song.
pick your own words for meaning, folks.
Brother, Ruben.
our listeners have heard that, or by now figured out, this is one of Screwdriver's favorite songs. It's full of symbolism in here.
Yes.
You take what you want out of that. I would like to point out, as far as symbolism goes, the group Steppenwolf, one of the hot movies, the hot songs, was Born to be Wild. The lead singer, Steppenwolf, was legally blind.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't drive a car, a truck, or a motorcycle, but he took what he felt and put it into a song. So whatever you take out of this song that Screwdriver likes so much, take it out and see what affects your life. And then it's a piece of something, is there a line, something you like, enjoy it.
Right. So right now we have hello, caller.
Caller, you're on.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Phil? It's Breeze.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I thought I'd call in. I had a couple minutes.
Cool.
What are you guys rapping about? Steppenwolf?
Yeah, Bill was just making a comment about the song I just played.
And, Born to be Wild.
The man, the lead singer, that was legally blind. He could never drive a car, truck, or a motorcycle, and yet he felt that song. So that we tell people, take things out of it. Not everyone's song has to mean everything to every person. Make your own meaning to it. That's what we're talking about.
That song I just played was about brotherhood, though.
Yeah, well, and that's what you took out of it.
Right. And
we invite everybody to take what they want out of every song.
Yeah, and Breeze, Jan's on the phone if you want to say hello.
Jan's on. Hey, Jan.
And then we'll get to that Fed number 111 in a minute. So hold on, you're up next.
Sweet.
Go ahead. You're go ahead, Breeze.
You're still on.
There's just another caller in there with it looks like a Skype number, but he's up after you.
Yeah, you know, I just thought I'd call in, let you guys know we got things shaking and moving in Washington and legislation.
We talked about that a little bit earlier, Jan and I and Bill, and thank you for joining us on that one.
Well, you know, it's unbelievable. Last year this time we were being told, there wasn't enough time in session. And this year we've got two bills running up in Washington. We've had hearings in the House and the Senate for both bills, and they've passed out of committee. One of the bills is... Well, in Washington State, they have this archaic 1967 law that says if you want to go without a helmet or have high handlebars or you want somebody to sit side saddle behind you and throw candy to the kids, you've got to get permission from the Washington State Patrol, and not just the Washington State Patrol, but the chief himself.
Wow.
So I put together a bill just to repeal that. I wanted to write out of the law books. Of course, they don't want to take anything out. I guess get a word count or something. You probably get paper words, but they're changing the language to say that those provisions are suspended during a parade or a public demonstration on closed roadways. And, you know, this it's a significant bill because it's taking something away from the Washington State Patrol, an authority nobody knew what was going on in 1967 with helmets. And, you know, that was a whole different era. And this thing sat there since 1967, and nobody's paid any attention to it until 2009 when we were having our annual spring opener. And the city wanted us to have a parade. They said we'd have to get this permission. So we wrote to the Washington State Patrol, and they wrote us back that, no, they wouldn't waive the provisions. And it wasn't a benefit to the community, which how the hell would they know what benefits the community? And then they went on to say that they would have to assume liability if anything happened to anybody.
Wow.
So it was obvious that they didn't want to exercise their authority, or rather they didn't want to suspend these rules. So we got the bill through. Well, we actually had on our legislative day, Black Thursday, on the 20th of January, we had a hearing in the Senate Transportation, and that's Senate Bill 5185, and it passed out of committee 2 days later, and it actually been pulled from the Rules Committee. In Washington State, after a bill passes committee, it goes to the Rules Committee, which is basically where they stack up all the bills that are made through committee, and they pull the bills to the floor for vote. Well, this bill has already been scheduled. It was supposed to be heard yesterday, or voted on yesterday on the floor. But they weren't playing nice on the floor, and they all had to go to their caucuses for an hour and a half instead of voting on bills like they should. But anyhow,
right.
It's on the calendar to be voted on, and we don't see any opposition on it. In fact, Washington State Patrol came out in favor of the bill, which was pretty unusual, but it's all working in our favor on that bill. It's also passed the House. Transportation is sitting there waiting in Rules Committee on the House side, waiting to get pulled to the floor. But we think that bill is going to go through. And that's a significant recovery of our 14th Amendment, equal access. So the other bill that we're running is a bill that's anti-profiling bill. I think you probably were talking about that one. We're working very closely. The community in Washington State is really becoming united. And the club community, the Confederation of Clubs, U.S. Defenders in Washington, they've really put things together in a good way, and they've got a very good speaker. If you saw the video, you heard him. His name is Double D, and he is a national debater. He used to teach at a major university, pretty young compared to me, but he's so articulate and so thorough and so complete. During the committee meeting yesterday, the hearing, one of the senators asked him after he got done speaking, said, "What law school did you go to?" And of course,
right.
He hasn't gone to law school.
Yeah, Jan told us about that.
Well, he's very smart, and he's very cool, a good speaker.
He doesn't have any.
By the time it got my turn, anything I said was just anecdotal. He had already said it all. With that said, in these hearings, I've testified in three of the four hearings, and I put Bolton of Washington on record now. They know Bolton, Washington, so that's a good thing, too.
Right.
This is Bill Kennedy. I want to say something. I want to congratulate you for the work you're doing. I sometimes disagree with a lot of MROs because I say the only way we can defeat them is from within. Education and learning how they play the game is the only way we're going to get ahead. I hear from different people, "Oh, we need protests and all that." You can protest all you want, in my opinion, but until we learn how to speak to them, deal with them, and defeat them on their own level, we'll never be nothing but a rabble. What you're doing is what I've been trying to say to people so long. We got to deal on the same plane as they're dealing with. Again, I applaud everything you're saying. I wish more people would pay attention to what you're saying and how you're saying it.
Well, for any of the listeners out there, I started in this legislative stuff about 3 years ago, and I didn't know anything. I was very green. And I knew I'd make a lot of mistakes, but I was never going to stop trying. But I discovered there is a secret to this legislation stuff. It's simply having the interpersonal relationships with the legislators. I don't have my representatives. I know them by first name, and I refer to them by first name. That's how close the relationship is. And I look at it this way. We elect them, put them in office. They work for us. I'm their boss. And I'm not going to take no for an answer from one of my employees.
There you go.
I would tell you two quick stories. On Halloween, I was at a function with my children. There was somebody there that is was working on the campaign for one of the legislators. And I said, "Well, I'm sort of pissed at that legislator. He doesn't write me back. He doesn't return my calls." Now, that was on a Friday night. On Sunday morning at 10 a.m., a knock at the door, and here the legislator standing on my porch. And he wasn't in the neighborhood canvassing. He came to see me because he heard I was pissed. And he knows who I am as well. And that's the first story. That's how effective this interpersonal relations can be. The second story is I was down in Olympia about a week before our Black Thursday. So it was around the 15th, let's say, of January. And I went in to where another one of my legislators is. And again, he's somebody that wasn't returning my phone calls. And when I saw him, I said, "Hey, I don't know what your deal is. You're not returning my calls, but I'll tell you what. If you don't want to play the game and return phone calls and get back to your constituents, I might just have to run against you, and I will win. And I said it in a joking term, but you know what? He returns my phone calls now.
You planted a seed.
I did.
A seed of doubt. Before I get anybody start calling and yelling at me, yeah, blah, 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 I encourage everybody to have all the protests you want, but I'm urging you, if you want to keep ignoring me, listen to what this man is saying. He is working within the system to change the system. I don't think by yelling and screaming and getting publicity shots are going to do as much as what this man here is doing.
Right.
He's saying we can change it if it's wrong. And again,
I believe in attacking on all levels.
Concentrated effort. Good for you, Jan. Thank you for getting me out of that.
well,
lost for a little bit.
There are some legislators who just are not flexible. They will never bend. And so if you send in 35,000 people on motorcycles, surrounding the governor's mansion, you get noticed. And sometimes it takes that for them to start listening. It's like what Breeze just said. You know, he had to say something, and now the person listens.
Breeze, I want to ask you to consider not joining any type of political major organization, Congress, Senate. I just don't want you to get stuck in that cesspool, and we lost too many good people. I'd rather have you fighting on the forefront the way you're doing. I just don't want you to get in that cesspool.
Let me speak on that one too. I ran for state senate, and it was a wonderful experience. But I'll tell you what, I think I can do a lot more without my hands tied. I don't want my hands tied. I can do a lot more as an activist, believe it or not.
And Breeze, I certainly don't want to influence you. You do in your heart you think is right. Wherever you think you can do the most good, that's where you should do. I'm afraid of some of my prejudice about some of my former political friends, which have just given into the program. You follow your heart, you do what's right for you. I didn't mean to make that bold statement telling you what you should and shouldn't do. You do what's right, brother.
Is Breeze still there? Johnny. Oh, no, we lost Mr. Breeze.
We might have lost him.
Oh, no.
Apology, he wasn't even there. Damn, before that I told him don't do it, then I apologized, and he wasn't even there. Sorry about that, Breeze. You do what's in your heart, though, buddy. Hope you did the right thing.
Breeze, you still there?
I'm back on.
Okay. Donnie is going to do what Donnie's going to do. I know.
Right.
I know. Right, Donnie?
Let me find
Can
out.
Can you hear me?
The caller with the 111, the Skype number, you're unmuted. Do you have any comments?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead,
I had lost the call. Sorry about that. I don't know what was being said. I was just trying to make a point that by presenting ourselves at the Capitol professionally, we're having a lot of success. And, you know, I have no problem with civil disobedience, and I have no problems with the protest. But if you want to get things done, start by getting to know your three legislators and go from there. And if, you know, you only have to, for instance, Washington State, 49 legislative districts. We only have to control 25 of them. And I said a long time ago, if we're not controlling our elected officials, we are giving up our liberty. And that's what we have to do. So, you know, I will also say this. This is we got a government that's got three branches to it. And we got to work every one of those branches. The people that are doing the judicial fights, like Mark Temple and David Stilwell and others, they are doing the right thing as well. But I think if you could get a state that was running it judicially and you're running it legislatively and you're working with law enforcement, possibly through internal affairs or possibly from just sit down over coffee, you're going to get somewhere, because now you're working in three branches of the government with the fourth branch of the government, the most important one, we the people. So, you know, that, it's very...
The screwdriver and I, we need to meet with the mayor's office, we need to meet with the chief of police, we need to meet with the fire department. We do not feel uncomfortable going in. Again, these are people paid, like a dog catcher and a telephone pole guy and whatever else, water guy. There are government officials, our local officials. We sit down and we have conversation with them. I think that's important.
Yep.
Sitting down with the police has not always been productive for us, because they change after saying they'll do things, and we sometimes have to go back over and over. I'm not going to get into that deep tonight, but I think the fact that we're comfortable enough to go into these offices and sit down, we're not making these people on a pedestal. We're making them accountable to what's going on. That's how we feel in our neighborhood here.
And that's the way everybody should feel. You should feel like you can hold them to their oath. Remember, they all public officials, all of them. Dog catcher, they take, if they are elected official or appointed by an elected official, they take an oath to office. And that oath has something akin to it, that they will support the Constitution of the United States and the state that they live in. Now,
or you can sneak up on them and, excuse me, and have them take a picture and then realize who you are after they're done and you leave.
Well, hey, you know, that's another way.
Screwdriver caused a lot of trouble. We had a big meeting, and we don't always agree with the chief of police here at all. And at the run I had a couple of weeks ago, Screwdriver took a picture with his arm around the mayor and the chief of police and wanted me to get in the picture. And I said, that'll never happen in my life. But after Screwdriver left, I think the chief of police realized, wait a minute, that was Screwdriver. So, we deal with it differently. I go one way. When Screwdriver talks to him, he talks differently. But all the people that are protesting, as you just said, Breeze, I agree. Whatever you feel is right for you. I'm just saying from my heart, I think what you're doing is most productive. But I don't want anybody else to change. Follow your own heart.
I believe that you have to, for instance, a helmetless protest ride, if that's what you're into, I think that that's a very good thing to do, too, because it's making a statement. But do it in the right way. Don't just roll, you know, protest runs can be very productive if you can get people involved. We're trying to plan one that coincides with Memorial Day, because in the town I live in, it happens to be the regional Veterans Memorial that is for Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana, and Alaska. So we thought, what a better way to honor our veterans by showing, by having this protest drive, because that's what they fight for. Is our right to be able to do exercise our First Amendment and all amendments.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And I don't want anybody in this country to be afraid to protest. Once the government controls you and tells you what to do, we're going down a bad path. I support everybody's right to protest peacefully, make any statement you want, but we need to discuss things intellectually. We need to speak to our leaders on the right home base. We need to know that we're going in there with people who are going to get things done. When you walk into a courthouse or if you walk into the police station and you got F this and F that, you're not shocking them. You're just telling them that they're tuning you out. I'm not telling people stop swearing. There's a time and a place for everything. To be most productive, you have to be just like them to get changes done. That's how I feel on that.
Yeah, you do. And I believe that's true. I think somewhat we have to play their game a little bit, and the protocol that they follow, somewhat we have to follow that. But I won't remove my motorcycle guard because I'm at the Capitol. I'll only take off my my do-rag because that's respectful. But as far as the rest of my clothes, they're staying on.
Screwdriver and I ride our motorcycles up the front door to police station. We walk in with all of our gear. We're not trying to be anybody exactly who we are. But I want to warn you, you better stop agreeing with Bill Kennedy. Both people will be contacting you everywhere. They don't like my style, but I think your style makes sense to me. So congratulations on that, sir.
It's the style that I had when I was recognized by Bolt a year ago and became Bolt Washington director. I'm not going to deviate from that style. It was what I was acknowledged for. That does not mean that I'm not going to take on another fight, such as a judicial fight You know, I fully intend to stack up some tickets, but right now I have a lot of people in the state. You know, it was a Wednesday afternoon at a hearing. We had over 100 bikers from all over the state in at this hearing yesterday. 100 is not a big number, but considering last year at the same hearing we had 17, it's a huge number. So things are changing, and you know, with that, we're getting recognized and calls from all over the country. I've been asked to sit on a panel that is with the club community to talk about how the independents and the club community can work together to achieve the same goals. And so there's a lot happening all over. MRF is inviting me to be a speaker. There's, or at least that's the rumor. But, you know, there's a lot of things happening. And I think we can do
it
in every...
The biggest shock of my life, and Jan's heard me say this over and over, if only we or all the motorcycle community could come together. If the different motorcycle rights organizations could say, okay, we have a few differences, but our main objectives are the same objectives. If only we in America could get together, we'd have some clout.
Well,
and stop this deep bickering, you know?
I have a suggestion on that. Look at what we have in common, not what we have that is different. We're very diverse, and we're quite a dichotomy of America, the motorcycle community as a whole. But we have a lot of things in common, and that's what we need to focus on, is those things. And that's how it's working in Washington. We're not worried about what's different. In fact, we're accepting what's different about the different communities. And
that America is like that, but I still see too much division in the motorcycle rights organizations. I see too much ego, too much attitude. I just don't think. I think we could be so much stronger.
But let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about that. You keep saying motorcycle rights or community, motorcycle rights organization. First, I just want to point out there's no such thing as motorcycle rights. There's just rights. Look in the Constitution. Find the word motorcycle in there. There are rights. Same rights everybody else has, but there are rights that affect the motorcyclist, and that if that's what a motorcycle right is, great. But the other thing is, there isn't motorcycle rights organizations anymore. There's motorcycle safety organizations. There's a few holdouts that are motorcycle rights organizations. When you start taking money from the government in grants, and you start doing NHTSA's bidding, you're no longer a rights organization. You're working for the state now. And it doesn't matter what late you can call yourself an MRO, but if your goal is to put out traffic signs and get mandatory training, and those aren't rights. There's no basis for them in the Constitution. Those are social welfare programs.
Well, you hit that right on the head.
Let's get really cut down to the brass tacks. If there's two kinds of laws that we need to fight, there's laws that restrict the government. They limit the government. Don't cost us any money. There's laws that take away our responsibility. We acquiesce our responsibility and give them authority, and they charge us for that in taxes,
sure,
in fines, to take care of our responsibilities, things that we should be doing anyway.
Right.
So you got to repeal the ones that restrict your freedoms, and you have to increase the ones that restrict their authority.
Donnie?
Yeah.
Donnie, I wanted to mention a part of a conversation that we had that relays right over to what you were saying about...
Well, I might deny it.
When you joined Bolt... you know, everyone knew that you were coming in from a legislative perspective, and the conversation that you and I had, I pointed out that Thomas Jefferson never fired a shot, to my knowledge, you know, during the American Revolution, but yet look at all that he did. Look at Thomas Paine. okay? The power of the pen is mightier than the sword.
Well,
we all fight the battles the best we can. I think I'm hearing Bree say, you know, I say this out loud.
Me
I haven't said this for a long time. If you ever did run for an office and I was in your area, I think I'd be proud to vote for you. You sound like you got a good head on your shoulder, Breeze.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, Charlie, you got any comments on that?
Oh, I think, man, you know, like Don was saying, you know, the whole gig about there's a lot of biker, you know, safety organizations left, and everybody's willing to compromise, and that's why the rights are going away. They're just continuing to let folks say, well, you know, if you'll give up a little of this, we'll give back a little of that, and sooner or later we're going to compromise ourselves to death.
Yeah, health insurance. I mean, I think it's a complete discrimination. If you aren't telling the regular motorist that they need to get an extra $50,000 in health insurance in order to drive a Toyota Corolla, then you can't be doing that kind of compromise for motorcyclists either.
Jan, let me start for a second. Breeze, you know Charlie? Charlie, you know Breeze? You guys know each other from anywhere?
No, not that I know of.
No, I don't think so.
Well, gentlemen, say hello. We got Charlie on one end, we got Breeze on the other. We got beautiful Jan in between them.
Well, actually, hey, geographically,
geographically,
they're
not
the Midwest and the upper northwest.
All right.
Charlie's in between.
In
Charlie's
Michigan.
In Tennessee right now, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in Tennessee, yep. It's freaking freezing here.
But you
yeah,
go
I know what you
over.
Mean. I had to wear a sweater underneath my Levi jacket today. I wear a sweatshirt, but ooh, it was cold. Almost
well,
out
I
of my chaps.
Just so I could put myself in the right state of mind, but it didn't work. I'm still freezing.
Hey, I'd like to stay on, but I'm gonna say goodnight because I got a whole family waiting for me. And my I've been gone for a couple days while I was in Olympia.
I want to thank you for calling.
And thanks for coming and sharing your side of the story. I appreciate that, buddy.
And you're welcome anytime.
I
appreciate very much what you guys are doing, holding this radio show. I wish I had more time to be on it more often. I think there's a lot of them. Jan, I know she gets on as many as she can, and she's got a few of her own. But this is one of the ways that we got to get the word out. And, you know,
the last free speech in America, what we're doing right now. If they ever take this away, well, nothing. What are they doing right now in Egypt? No taxes, no rate. They're cutting the communication down. As long as we have communication, America will stay proud and free.
Yeah.
Good night,
well,
Johnny.
Hey,
if you don't exercise your rights, then you'll lose them.
Well, what?
Once
you
again,
know
beautifully
what?
Said, Jan.
The last
night,
thing.
Nice
saying.
Talking to you.
Last thing about that is you better know what your rights are.
Yeah.
Learn them. Learn them or you're going to die by them. All right.
Amen.
Hey, Charlie, do you go out on the you do a lot of traveling, and, you know, because of your line of I don't want to call it work because I know what music is all about. The work is setting up the equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's equipment up. That's for the roadies.
Yeah, I haven't been quite that fortunate in most cases. I usually set up at least 3/4 of the time.
But Charlie called in. He wanted to pop out tonight.
Yeah, I do, man. As a matter of fact, I got Sonny Barger's endorsing. Sonny Barger and New Rock Hells Angels are endorsing my song Ride, and we, you know, they asked me to put together a little video, which I was fortunate enough to be able to do, and Sonny put it up on his website this morning, and New Rock put it up a few days ago, and I'm pretty excited about all that. I got 6 songs in another video. The first video shot in 10 years, from what I'm told, at Sonny Barger's book signing in New York. So that's very cool stuff all coming out, and we got almost 1,200 hits on YouTube right now in just a few days. Thanks to HA
that's
World.
That's great, man. That's great. But
yeah, I mean,
It's like that venue I told you, the venue changed, so it's going to be at Froggy's in Topanga Canyon.
Yeah, right. 20th. That's on the 20th. Yeah, that's a great spot.
Yeah, it is.
It's got crappy parking, but great ambiance.
I was listening into a radio show one night. I don't know whose radio show it was. It could have been anybody's. Charlie, you ended up going into a rant about motorcycling and motorcyclist rights and biker rights, and I'll tell you what, you hit so many good points. You did such a good job. I mean, you know what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, I stand up for it, too, and I believe in it, and, I try to talk about it at my shows, not to be preachy, because audiences don't want to hear too much of it from the stage, but I always try to mention organizations and radio shows like yours and everybody's that, Hermes and folks that are out there bringing it all to us and showing us the rights. And unfortunately, tonight, I wasn't able to be privy to the whole conversation. I guess I might get a little more rile in my blood when I've had an hour or two to listen and get worked up. But, I'm right there with you, man.
I'd say we had a relaxing evening tonight.
It was quite comfortable tonight.
Yeah.
California cool, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Tell me, when are you heading out to the coast this way? You got anything coming up in the future at all?
Well, I don't know for sure what is going to bring me there, but I've got probably four or five things that are possible on the agenda, and I'm waiting, hoping to get enough information in enough advance that when one of them kicks off, I can schedule, a half a dozen things to do.
Yeah.
Chad just got the news today that he's not coming out to the coast. I don't know if he let yet. Yeah.
No, I haven't heard from Chad at all.
Yeah, I got a text from him about an hour ago, and I'll read it to you. He says, fuck, man, I just wanted out of the snow and cold. I'm going nuts in Wisconsin.
You'd go anywhere just to get out.
No shit.
10 years since I've been down the Sunset Strip. I usually don't go, but the Key Club, I was looking forward to just because it's been a while. And now the venue's changed again. The canyons are nice. Froggy's are nice. But I was thinking, whilst I've been down the strip, it might be kind of strange. Maybe I can meet some of Screwdriver's friends out there, you know? did you see him with Jesus? Charlie, did you see a picture of a Screwdriver and Jesus?
I didn't see that one, no. Not that I recall.
Well, Screwdriver found Jesus in Hollywood.
What a great place to find him. It doesn't matter as long as you found him.
But on the 20th, we're going to have a different layout, be a little more casual, I think.
Yeah, I'm right now certain I won't make that one. I might, if Michelle's talking about bringing me out for March the 12th, so that's still on the table. That could be pulled together within the next few days. We'll have to wait and see.
Screwdriver and I, when we're setting up now with the paralyzed veterans at the VA hospital, and I just scored the a local Elks Club. It's a big club. They're giving us their stage. They're giving us inside the tables, the chairs. They're going to let us do everything inside. I think I put a better venue on rather than that parking lot stuff we try to do out there. Trying to bring everybody a little more comfortable.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that PVA run is on April 2nd. It's a Saturday. And it's going to be that run we have every year to
keep the VA hospital.
From the VA hospital.
You guys got your hands full out there.
Pretty much, but it's like we told you about, people approach us and then the talk is talk. And so far we're waiting to see the walk now.
Screwdriver
right,
himself.
Yeah.
From a couple of people.
Yeah, we're set up doing so many runs ourselves, and everybody wants to get on board. All we're asking people is be up front. Tell us what you want to do, how you want to do it. Don't just, again, as you say, talk to talk and then walk away because of this or that. No, we're committed to whatever we do, and I like to be around solid people. But we try to give everybody a chance.
Right.
but we try to check everybody out too.
Right, I know.
Well,
I know that.
Why can't we check everybody out? How much money does it take for Greyhound bus one way?
Well,
if it's North County
you can fly one way to Nashville now, or vice versa for about $150.
Yeah. But, hey, what's coming up? Speaking of Nashville, what's going on in Nashville in May?
Oh, yeah, we got the May 7th event, the second annual Second Harvest Feeding America benefit is definitely on, man. It's going to happen at the Bikini Beach Biker Bar that I took you to, Philip. Very cool. We got just tons of backing this year. We got that's a great biker bar, and the owners have been there for 14 years, and 200-mile round-trip bike ride up to one of the nicest lakes here in Tennessee and back. It's about 100 miles out to it, so then it's a good 100 miles back. We got some great entertainment coming. Hopefully do a celebrity cook-off. And Philip's favorite, they even have a stripper pole on the stage, so we're ready to go.
Yeah, man, if they have the strippers they had last time, I'll be out front, dude.
Yeah, I hear you. Old lady,
you know, those things look like two cats in a bag trying to get out.
Yeah, that's a fact. That was good. But no, we're really looking forward to that. I'm going to do a press release on that within the next week. We're almost ready to let it go. I'm waiting on a couple of bands to confirm and shoot it out to the magazines and the websites and get it on.
Yeah, just make sure you do that, and I'll give a copy to Randy, and I'm sure we can get Tiger Lily to throw one in there too, and in Nevada. And
hey, does Charlie know who's going to show up on the 20th? Jim Brown, the football.
Yes.
Football?
No, he knows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's basically
awesome.
Where we're gonna launch his his thing.
The 20th.
Yeah, that
20th.
I would. I really regret not making that, because I'd love to meet him. Just because, you know, heck, he was. You know, I'm an old man. I remember Jim Brown. He wasn't playing when I was watching football. I was too little for that, but I knew of him. You know, because his career ended not long after I got old enough to know what was going on.
The knees went pretty bad, but he's donated a large portion of his life trying to keep the youth gangs from just wiping each other out. He didn't have to do that. He never got money for that. But that's something he chose. And I appreciate any man stepping up and saying, this is what I believe in. I want to try to make a change. So I'm looking forward to meeting him also.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan. I already know that it's really not in the cards. It would take winning the lottery or something to be able to turn that around and get out there. There's too much on the agenda. But, yeah, man, I definitely think that he's a great man, and that's a very worthy cause.
He's also quite a role model to a lot of the young rap stars and all that. That he's trying to keep them realizing they keep their feet grounded. The drugs will come and go. Your money will come and go. Make the right investments. That's what I like about
just
that.
Like, that's just like the other day. They had a thing on about all the football.
Oops.
Well, as you guys heard, we're down to 90 seconds. And, of course, Charlie, you're welcome anytime. Jen, you're welcome anytime. And we're still trying to find out who's using the Skype number to 111. He's been unmuted the whole time, but hasn't said anything. He's probably just listening.
We encourage everybody to join us whenever you want to. We won't shut you down. We won't turn you down.
No.
We want to hear what you have to say. That's dialogue.
Right.
And I want to say special thanks to all of our friends, new friends that are listening, regular friends that called in. Thank you.
And what we're going to do is I'm going to close this out with Ride, Charlie.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Charlie, sing a little bit of Ride for us over the air. Sing a little bit. Just a little bit.
Out on
Charlie,
the road, nothing's passing me by. I'm going to run you out of time.
Uh-oh.
Keep it going, Charlie. That sounds great.
Take us home, Charlie, with the music, if you can. Take us home.
Out on the road, nothing's passing me by. I'm soaking up every detail. I can't remember feeling so high. Carry the wind in my sails. You know how it goes.
There you go. You've been ratings up, Charlie, because I try to sing even. Nobody appreciates it. So thank you for coming in and singing in a nice voice.
Thanks for having me on. And thanks, everybody, for all your support. Sonia's sitting here. She says hello to everybody. Thanks,
Charlie, we say
everybody.
Hello, too.
Good night to all of our friends.
Good night to everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.